Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
We have oodles of Stars coverage to talk about on this Monday. Hey, everyone, it's Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us this off-season. Remember, tell a friend that we're doing off-season Stars and hockey programming right here on Spits and Shapiro will join us coming off a boys weekend and lot to talk about with Sean, Jason Robertson, Maverick Bork, Jamie Benn. Where does the Stars team go from here? And the latest headlines around the NHL, if we have time for that. Sean, of course, I'll start with EP Ringside this time around because my draft coverage included elite prospects. It's so good. Obviously, Shap Shots is where you should subscribe. It's wonderful that Sean's Substack with great articles coming out all the time throughout this off season regarding like Jason Robertson or Jamie Benn or everything we talk about. Sean writes an article on it, and it's a really in-depth piece where I'm learning stuff all the time. So there's that. He also pens for D Magazine, and he has his YouTube channel every week with a lot of weeks, multiple episodes, bonus episodes with Robert Tiffin. It's called Algorithmically Incorrect. And please do us a favor and give us a follow on that as well. That's their YouTube channel. Let's discuss the on-time experts real quick. The on-time experts all over, the official sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys, of the Dallas Stars, and Spits and Suds. They love sports here in DFW, and they love supporting both the radio station as well as Spits and Suds. And I'm truly appreciative of that. What I'm also truly appreciative of, even before the on-time experts signed on, I was actually an on-time experts customer, and they've helped me out a few times with things. And one in particular, one of my rooms did not have the same temperature as the rest of the room. So the on-time experts came out on time when they said they were going to come out, same day service guaranteed. And they adjusted the problem, and it didn't cost me a great deal of money. Why? Because they wanted me for a customer for life. And that's what they're going to do. It's not just going to be a one-time thing. They're always going to make best efforts to make you a customer for life. So one way you can support Spits and Suds is by taking advantage of that first-time customer $59 special here in North Texas, a complete gutting of your HVAC system. It might take up to 2 hours. Why? Because they're going to do a thorough inspection and cleaning. Then they're going to meet with you and talk about your system. And it's not going to be a hard sell. I promise you that. Also, $99 first floor drain cleaning. So get that peace of mind. And you know what? Make sure, is that garbage disposal working real well? Are the drains in your bathroom working? Or are they clogged with hair and other things that go down the drain? Maybe some toothpaste, all kinds of things go down that drain. So the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com, make sure you tell them Spits and Suds sent you. What a program we have. Very informative program. You know, it would be nice to talk on the ice hockey, but right now we have to get into some contracts and the meaning of those contracts. And to bring us on, we always like to know how Sean Shapiro is doing. How was the boys' weekend, my friend?
It was good. It was, this one was more of a family. Like, there's the family with my good friend joined us up there. They live in the Chicago area. So we met them up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it was, if you've ever been,
I have.
I highly suggest anyone exploring up there. We were up there. It's called the Hiawatha National Forest is right up there, and kind of did some exploring there, did some hiking, took the Jeep out to drive a little bit. And there's about as far north as you can get in the United States. There's the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. And so we took the, took a boat out there for sunset on 4th of July. Actually, it was really cool. Did that. And then we got back and saw some fireworks by the lake. So awesome weekend with some old friends, some family too. So it was, I'm doing great and happy to be here today.
Did you stop by Northern Michigan University to check on their great hockey program, sir?
Not on this trip. No.
Okay.
It was, hockey thoughts over this weekend were more so of the, if they popped into mind, they happened, but it was more about, my 5-year-old son, tried fishing for the first time. We took the
nice,
kind of paddle, whatever you call those, the paddle boats, whatever you want, sure, that you power with your feet, right? The one that you power with your feet, that one is, got that going with the kids too. So yeah, that was kind of the, that's what we
nice.
Did.
Nice. Nice. Mackinac Island fudge is always good to when you.
We did pick some of that up on the way. So that is always good.
Absolutely. Mackinac Island's beautiful for those that are wondering. Very few cars, some horse-drawn carriages on Mackinac Island. It's a really, really cool spot. Yep. Okay, let's dive into some hockey. The Jason Robertson developments over the weekend. This thing will now go to salary arbitration. Sean, I thought you brought up a really good point on social media that I think is kind of being lost in the shuffle due to not wanting to go to Seattle, that you brought up on your social that Jason Robertson is once again wants to be a Dallas Star.
Yeah, and that's like he wants to be a Dallas Star. He wants to be paid closer to $14 million, and there's not the reality is all of this kind of aligns with what he's been looking for. And now there's some fresh frustration for Stars fans because they want to see a number by this and get this done and everything. But the reality is Jason Robertson is very loyal to Jason Robertson, and you can't blame him for that. But he's also, when it comes down to it, if he didn't just go take the biggest money offer, because he could have taken that money from Seattle, and he could have, in theory, been open to that type of offer sheet as well from another team. Look at what Leo Carlson just got offered.
Yes.
And I know for a fact that other teams have reached out about a potential offer sheet to Jason Robertson. So while it certainly feels, I'm sure it feels kind of frustrating, interesting, whatever word you want to use, to me, there's not this clear, I have less of the, well, Jason Robertson wants out of Dallas feel than most people do, I think.
So I thought of this scenario. Say it goes to arbitration. Yeah. Stars want to pay him just above 12. Robertson's camp wants 14. Say if the arbiter says, all right, you know what, guys, we're going to do a 1 year. Here's the deal, $13 million. Robertson has a good year, and then free agency comes, and Robertson signs an eight-year deal, no movement clause, $13 million a year. Is that all for naught then? Like, you know, because my understanding is a big thing for Robertson is this no movement clause as well, which, you know, is tough to get under the current circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he really can't get the no movement clause this year anyway. So that's not really
correct.
So from a control perspective, if you look at the way Robertson goes on things, he is a world where he could go, he has more control through, because he wouldn't have been able to get the no movement clause in year one of this deal. So not that the Stars would have done it, but in theory, the Stars could have signed him to a 8-year deal and then traded him.
Yes.
Now, if he's on a 1-year deal, they could obviously trade him while he's on the 1-year deal. He still has the control of where he goes next year. So it's a kind of interesting, fascinating slope. Well, I don't think the Stars would have done that. I do think there's a level of Robertson's camp here of, if we're not going to get the 8 years done with Dallas now the way we are, and I want to stay here, I got to exert some control on this. Now, let's be clear on something. Arbitration has been filed. The two sides can come to a deal at any point before arbitration. And I think that's one of the things that people get kind of lost in. This is kind of a necessary filing deadline. That doesn't mean that Jim Nill and Andy Scutt aren't going to speak today, for example. I expect them to engage in conversation. And I don't know if it goes all the way to the arbitration case or not. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, because eventually there's going to be a point where the two sides are going to be like, look, I'm going to bring this number to the arbiter. You're going to bring this number to the arbiter. Can we figure something out before we get there? And that's why so many of these cases never make it there. That's why typically, like, I think 25 players filed. If two actually make it all the way to arbitration, I'll be surprised.
Sean, I just pictured like Jim Nill and his camp going in and not saying anything negative toward Jason Robertson. And if it goes to arbitration and just saying like, here's where we're at and this is why we can't play the player, it probably wouldn't help their cause. But could you foresee a circumstance where, because a lot of times players and teams do not want to go to the table because of the negativity that is talked about in those meetings?
Yeah, and that's, I understand where you're, as a player, you'd like to avoid it, right? It's the, you'd like to, it hurts. It can be humbling and to hear your employer go and say, well, this is why you suck, right? That's basically right. What it comes down to. And that's also how you lose the case. And Jim Nill has to do what's best for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
And if he comes to the table and let's just play this out, Gavin, right now. Let's pretend like you and I are playing both sides here. Do you want to play the player side or the agent or the team side? Which one do you want to pretend to be right now?
I'd like to be Robertson's side.
Okay. So get a number in mind. Let's both think of a number in mind right now.
Mm-hmm. Got
it. Let's both think of a number in mind. All right. I got mine. I got yours. I'm not going to change mine. So you come to the arbiter, and for all intents and purposes, you listening at home are the arbiter. And then in our conversation right here, our producer Greg is getting to go through this live exercise. So you come to the table, Gavin. What's your number for a 1 year ask?
Okay, quick question before I come to the table.
Yes,
because
yes, yes.
Someone said this on Twitter, and I wanted to see if you knew. Okay. Is the agent allowed to bring up the Carlson offer sheet and the Kaprill contract with the Minnesota Wild?
The Carlson offer sheet, offer sheets cannot be brought up.
Okay. Okay.
So the offer sheet is not a comparable. That is something that is different. If you wanted to get an offer sheet like that, you could have not signed the arbitration deal, and you could have gone and
got it.
And you could have.
I did not want to. I did not want to sound. And thank you very much, Jim Nill, yes, and Camp, for answering that question. I will present the Kirill Kaprizov case, and I think Jason Robertson has been a very consistent player. I think that actually, if you look at the Dallas Stars and what happened in the playoffs, my player has stepped up, and performed very well in the playoffs, arguably one of the better players on your team during the playoffs in this last run. Granted, it was a year. My player has also, been a very good two-way player. And I think when you look at the consistency of my player, as far as point production and as far as overall health, I think that's why this justifies it. And if you look at the contracts of Austin Matthews, and others, I think my client should be up around that category.
And then I'll go from the other side here. If you're listening at home, remember, so that's what
this is a fun thing. I like this.
Yeah. And so did you, as I was taking notes here, so did you come in with, what was the number you came in with here?
I'm going to come in higher than I know I'm going to get. So I'm going to come in at a solid 14.
14? Okay. I'm going to, as from a Stars perspective, playing the role of the Dallas Stars and Jim Nill here, I'm going to look at it this way. And it is the, Jason has been a homegrown player, as someone who has been a big part of the what the Dallas Stars are and where they're going and everything like that. And we are a big believer in that. That being said, we look at when we look at the contract value, and while long term we see, while long term with a cap raising, we see we understand Jason's suggested range with the cap rising, what that might look like on a long term deal. But under a 1 year deal, looking at the case for a looking at the case for something that is just 1 year and what makes sense for this franchise and value. His qualifying offer was $9.3 million. We respect 9.3 is worth more than $9.3 million for the 26-27 season. And so we're going to offer $10 million for the 26-27 season.
Okay. Interesting.
And so we come to the table, right? Now this is the spot where you at home are listening, and this is where We got Greg right here, and I don't know if Greg can even join. We could even let Greg make his on-air call.
Oh, yeah. That's like, if Greg's listening and can join, boy, this would be interesting.
Because we have I come to the table at 10, you come to the table at 14. To be clear, and just to kind of peel the curtain back a little bit, right? Like, I'm coming at 10 because I need to get you lower, right? And you're coming at 14 because you need to get me higher. And then, so Greg, it looks like you're able to join us. Greg, sitting in the arbiter's chair, where does your brain go? And now here's the other thing real quick for all the people listening at home. This is not baseball arbitration. The arbiter doesn't have to pick one side or the other. The arbiter gets to pick the number of what the number is for a 1 year deal.
Yep. And that number needs to stick. So this is fascinating.
Yes. Yep.
Can I cop out and split the difference and say 12 million?
You're allowed to. 100%.
Yeah, I don't think that's a cop out. I think that's a fair.
I think that's what the move is, to take 12 million.
Wow. All right.
So
I like that.
Yep. And so for everyone at home, this is what is going to happen, right? Like they're going to be now. There's going to be a little bit more back and forth, and there'll be some, but the cases will be made, and instead of a decision in 48 seconds like Greg just gave us, there'll be 48 hours for the decision to be made. But if it goes all the way there, that's going to happen. And I just kind of want to give people an idea for that. And I look at the Stars cap number and the cap sheet, and I think they're fully prepping for a $12 to $12.5 million cap hit on this. And that's where my guess is where it's going to go. I could be wrong, but that's the range that I'm predicting now on this.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great exercise. Thank you, Sean. And thank you, Greg. Let's move on to Maverick Bourque. Over the weekend signs that long-term deal in Nashville. Interesting that the Stars made the trade. And I wonder what goes on behind the scenes, because obviously Jim Nill knows some numbers. So the Stars get in return a second and a third. And by the way, get to unload Ilya Lyubushkin's last year of a contract. Once again, he can make it, you know, he can play in the NHL. But I think a few people are going to look at the $5.5 million yearly salary and then quickly look up, well, as a restricted free agent, the Stars could have got a first round and third round pick. My thing is, Sean, there's no guarantee that there would have been an offer sheet. So to me, I think Jim Nill got good value. If you have to unload a player, getting a second and a third and dropping Ilya Lyubushkin's salary, to me is a good deal.
Yeah, I don't mind the value on this. And with what Maverick Bourque was looking for, to put it bluntly, I don't think he would have been able to stay in Dallas either way. I mean, that, like, I don't mind that deal for Maverick Bourque in a vacuum, but for Maverick Bourque, he can get that money in Nashville. The Stars don't have the space for that player. And I think this is one of those, goes back to one of those old kind of axioms here. Two things can be true: what a player is worth and what a team can contend in certain, can afford in certain windows, are two very different things. And I think that's that's just an okay, that's a reality that we're allowed to accept, right? Like, we're allowed to acknowledge that Maverick Bourque wasn't going to get that money in Dallas. And this is, he did a good job drafting, you did a good job getting homegrown pieces. If you never trade for Mikko Rantanen, well, then this never comes up, but you happily traded for Mikko Rantanen. So right. I like Maverick Bourque as a player. I think he's going to be a really good fit with Nashville. I think there's going to be, there's probably going to be some frustrations and hindsight things where people see him play against the Stars and get frustrated or something like that. But I would encourage people not to overly look at it that way and realize that you don't judge the Stars by losing Bourque in a trade. You judge the Stars by what happens next with the space, what happens with the Robertson deal, where things go, where they are a year from now would be my kind of caution, I guess.
Yeah. 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 Good point. And Jamie Benn signs a 1-year vet minimum contract with a bonus. Looks like several are achievable, just like I think he got $2 million in bonuses this year being paid to him. So the captain coming back for another year. I guess the question is, Sean, as you look at this team right now, I kind of don't want to judge them right now. I kind of want to wait until, like, all right, here's the official team, because there still could be some roster moves. So I don't want to judge them, but I am looking at this right now and I'm saying, I just don't, if everything clicks, then okay. Yeah, we got something here, but I'm not sure right now. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you go through and like here, the reality is the league is still changing all over the place, right? Right. Like, I mean, if we assume that they're going to get, like, if we're playing the lineup game right now, you're probably seeing a lineup that looks something along the lines of, and I want to be clear, this is not pairings or anything, like
sure,
you're looking at something that goes maybe like Robertson, assuming Robertson gets signed, Robertson, Hintz, Rantanen, maybe Steele, Johnston, Sagan, Ben, Duchesne, Ritzkovian, Kiviranta, Foxa,
Beck,
yeah,
Blackwell.
Blackwell, yeah. And then, like, and just, and on D, like, Lindell Heiskanen, Harley Lundqvist, like, Bishop Myers, I'm actually more okay with that than,
yeah,
like, I'm fine with that because I think there's a step for, personally, I think there's a step for Lien this year. I don't like to move things on, but yeah, there's a lot of hope and faith for some progression and a lack of regression for some other people, right? Like, I've said this, like, with the whole, like, Jamie Benn deal. In a vacuum, it's not a bad deal for his production. I don't like it from what it means for the captaincy standpoint. I worry about that vacuum when I talk, as I've talked about before. Once again, this is not about the player. This is more about what he represents. And I think the Stars are making a mistake there, but he can still provide some value as a left wing. I don't like Sam Steele as your second line left winger as we're laying this exactly. out. I really yeah, don't yeah. like that. Some of the other pieces you've added, this kind of, I don't mind bringing back Yoel Kiviranta if that means you're finding a way to move Radek Foxa and open up some yes. space there. Maybe things move a little well, but this team is, they're probably a top five team in the West. I think that's fair to say.
That's what I was thinking. I think, you know, the potential is there. And listen, I'm not trying to hit panic and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
I mean, you could be a top three team or you could be one of the wild card teams.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that's an important way to look at it, right? Like, I think they will contend. I think they will be in the running for a top three spot in the Central with this roster, but it's not a team that you look at and say like, okay, this isn't a favorite roster anymore. And I think that's right. Just a reality, and how teams handle and manage those windows is always fascinating. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you need to see, does Ritzkovian have another step in him? Can Tyler Seguin stay healthy?
And that's like Ritzkovian's a perfect example, right? Like I love the Justin Ritzkovian story. Absolutely sure. Love it. It's a great story. I don't know what else is there for Justin Ritzkovian, right? Like the reality is, and he's a great story, and yes, he came off a really good rookie year and everything like that, but he's a 25-year-old, right? It's not like this is a 21-year-old who has gone and it's like, oh man, there's the, like, he's kind of right already in that prime window. We'll need someone to step up and surprise us. We'll need to be able to have a conversation in December where we're like, man, so-and-so, whether it's by beating an aging curve or progressing further than we thought, is going to have to be able to, you and I are going to have to be able to sit in December and be like, yeah, you know what? Their faith in player X really paid off here.
Right, right. Absolutely. Oh, and before we go, getting back to Robertson, there's a December deadline as far as negotiating as well, right?
There is. I believe it is the December 1st deadline for him to be able to play in the NHL this season. So that okay. is... Now, the other thing I'd like to point out real quick, Gavin, on just one thing is Robertson has played... I want to look this up exactly. So I have the... Right now... Jason Robertson has played, so I can find the active one. He has played 374 consecutive games dating from January 20th, 2022 to this spring. 374 games, has not missed a regular season game, missed a little of those playoff games. Played all 82 each of the past four seasons. While he was willing to hold out through training camp before and all of that, I do think there's a little bit of pressure for Robertson on that level of he's always prided himself on being available the entire time. He prided himself on playing through the foot injury.
Yeah.
Right now, it's easy to say, hey, we're willing to draw this out. I am curious to see what happens if nothing's done. I mean, the other reality is, it won't go. That December deadline is not going to come into play because we're going to get an arbiter ruling and it's going to be done sometime within 6 weeks, one way or the other on that. Yeah. And so,
okay. And, listen, I personally, if Sean wants to go into it, that's fine. Jeff Merrick reported about players calling Jason Robertson. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because a Spits and Suds listener said, you know, how come you guys aren't talking about this? Well, the reality is it's one report and there are so many reports out there.
Here's the other thing too. And this is the level of, I don't like ever discrediting anyone else's reporting or anything like that.
Sure.
And I'm not to say anyone is not has or hasn't called Jason Robertson about his contract situation. I do want to be careful on this, and this is just a media literacy line of things. Who does it benefit to have it out there, true or not, that players have been calling Jason Robertson to say, hey, let's keep this together?
The Dallas Stars.
Exactly. And I think that's an important, and Tom Gilardi. So it yep. is an, I think that is an important thing to remember just from a media literacy thing. And this isn't to discredit anyone else's reporting, because I'm being very clear. I'm definitely, that is not the case at all for me on this. But I do think it is very important to make sure that you are looking at the at things with kind of proper eyes on this, because I go back to this. Esa Lindell went and got more money because John Klingberg said, hey, I took a pay cut. Make sure you get paid. Players, like, and there's some players that are going to be like, hey, I wish we could have kept Maverick Bourque. But those same players are going to look at what Maverick Bourque got paid and be like, well, damn, that would have never happened here. Right? That's the reality. And so and the other part of it goes too, is from the cap sheet and everything like that. If you are, I don't know, let's pretend you're, who on this roster has the right to go and say, like, take less money? Right. Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, that's where I kind of wonder, like,
I agree. Like, can't be Jamie Benn, the captain, because he took good money. Can't be Tyler Seguin because he took good money. Can't be Mikko Rantanen. And those are some of your leaders.
And you why, know? I mean, and Wyatt Johnston is literally has the same agent, right? Exactly, like, it's the whole, exactly. And so is Radek Foxa going to be calling him and say, hey, take less money? No. Right. Like, Is Thomas Harley going to be calling and say, hey, take less money?
Right.
Is Jake Ottinger is one of the top paid goalies on planet Earth. Is he going to be saying, take less money? I want to be, just take some thought of this, is who on this roster is like going to go and make the call and be like, well, dude, Jason, you got to take less money, man. Right. Like that's, I don't.
It's a great perspective. It really is, Sean. You know, it is. And if it happened, great. But at the same time, you know, that's one of the things. There's so many reports going around. It's, you know, as Jim Nill said in his press conference, there were two general managers talking and everyone wondered what they were talking about. And they were talking about how this report got out because it was fictional on both sides. Mm-hmm. So it's that time of year, silly season, you know, but that was a great explanation. I picturing Radek Foxa picking up the phone and calling us. that's something that's going to last me all day.
maybe it was Ilya Labushkin calling and being like, hey, I really don't want to move. I really don't want to move. Please, Jason, please.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Before we let you go, what you got coming up that we can read on Shap Shots or any of your wherever else you are?
Yep. Got something up this morning, just kind of some of the stuff we talked about today, but just kind of unloading a bit of the brain notebook after this weekend. Trying to keep an eye on some things as we kind of get into July. One of, for me, we will have things as Shap Shots, we'll have things as we go in July, but one of the things that I intentionally do is I also, the major preference and priority on being a good dad. So, nice. We'll do some writing from the pool, kind of keep up on some things. Got a couple of fun ideas, but I don't want to overpromise anything. But at that same front, I do want to say thank you to everyone who listens to this show, reads what I write, because I feel really privileged to be I can better myself as a person. I can take some time to take the kids on a trip and do all of that. And people understand that I'm a one-man shop, one-man band kind of doing this. So I really appreciate those people. So if you're listening, thank you. And it means a ton to me that continues to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's great. And Robert did a great job filling in for you last week.
Yeah.
As you got family time. So stick tap to Robert as well. But we will have an Algorithmically Incorrect this week, correct?
We will. We definitely will. Wednesday will be the day. So
That is awesome. All right. Thanks to Sean Shapiro. Sean, you called on Gregory Finley. That's the first time he's ever appeared on a podcast in these years that we've been doing this. So,
well, I'm glad we broke the fourth wall for people.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Our arbiter has spoken at $12 million a year. So it's great to hear Gregory on this podcast because he does so many things behind the scenes for us, thanks to the on-time experts. We'll have some really cool stuff happening later this week on Spits and Suds. Until our next podcast, have a great start of your week, everyone.